That's a funny opener. Today we're talking about mayonnaise. We should just say that every episode.
Right.
Or we could have it. Today we're going to talk about and have that same be the same thing every week. And then I put an obvious like cut in there, mayonnaise. And then, you know, the next week, today we're going to talk about towels, you know.
Crotchless bloomers, right.
Oh my God, crotchless bloomers. You got to find a picture of those, Walt. You've got to. Crotchless bloomers.
Actually, I did do some research on those. And
I bet you did research on that. I bet you did.
Hey, I've got some good news.
Yes?
My daughter is engaged.
How exciting.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Yeah. When's the big day?
I think it's going to be fall 2024.
And who is he?
The same guy she's been dating since high school. 8 years they've been together.
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Why did you say who is he?
I just wondered who he is.
Brad Pitt.
Like, is it Brad Pitt?
Aren't you supposed to say who is they?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, that's true. She could be marrying a woman.
That's so woke of you, Walt.
Yeah, you are woke. So I take that back. Who are they, Bailey?
Who be they?
He is her boyfriend from high school.
What does he do?
He works in the biomedical engineering field, making, you know, designing medical equipment. And it's a very small company.
Always a market for that.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. I'm excited. With all the crappy news we've had lately and all the deaths we've had, we're like, yay, finally.
Yeah.
Your family has endured a lot lately, haven't you? Yeah, holy shit.
I feel like I've been really anxious lately about different things, you know? Like, my parents, you know, their condition and their aging and my son in Europe and then myself, like... How am I going to stay healthy to retire? And, you know, like, I just feel like I'm just anxious all the time lately. I don't know. I really want to get rid of that, but I don't know how exactly.
When do you want to retire?
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
I would give anything to retire. This woman I work with, her office is next to mine. I was talking to her the other day, and she's like, on Monday, I'm going to tell the boss, you know, or the dean that I'm retiring. I'm like, you lucky bitch. You know, that's how...
Take me with you.
Seriously.
How old is she?
She's a couple years younger than I am.
Wow.
Yeah, I think she's just 60, maybe.
Mm. You got to sell the house and get a van.
There you go.
Down by the river. Yep.
Down by River Mongo. Or what? Oh, Lake...
Lake Mongo. Lake Mongo.
Mongo.
Wasn't character. Are you thinking about the character in
Blazing Saddles?
Yeah. I kept thinking, Mongo, why do
Mongo.
I know that?
It's Mongo.
Mongo.
In Australia or New Zealand, but it's Mongo.
Mongo. There was a big piece on Mel Brooks in the paper last week. Did you read it in the Times?
I read his autobiography a couple of weeks ago.
Because he's releasing History of the World Part 2.
Yeah. Apparently.
I saw a few of those because it's a series. I saw a few of them. See, History of the World Part 1 was not my favorite, and I don't think these are that great either, sadly. Like, I watched History of the World Part 1 again because I read the book, you know, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll have to revisit that. The funniest thing in it, oddly enough, is Mel Brooks, which I never really think of it that way, but he is the funniest thing in that movie, although Madeline Kahn, too, isn't it?
Yeah, she's brilliant.
Yeah.
He has a funny sense of humor that it feels like maybe it's too broad, but then you can't help laughing.
It's very vaudevillian, you know, like when you see History of the World, it's like all these old, like,
like references,
not references, but people, you know, like he put Sid Caesar in there. He, you know, like all these old time comedians, right? Like, what was that guy's name? Jan Martin, I think was his name. And Jan Murray and people like that, you know, and it's
oh my God, Jan Murray.
Yeah. I mean, this is
the guys he started with.
Yes. You know, and that to me is the thing that dates him, you know, like really date, even in his time dated him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know, like in Blazing Saddles, there's not that, you know, that's not the case. And in Young Frankenstein either, you know, like the, at the time, Gene Wilder and Cloris Leachman and Madeline, you know, they were all young. Cleavine Little young, you know, but like in his other movies, he's got a lot of those old timers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think in general they aged well at all. Maybe there's a few of them that did, but, you know.
You got to give him credit, though, for keeping going. Talk about staying
active. Absolutely. Oh, he's in his 90s.
Yeah, especially after losing his buddy 96. There.
Looks Carl like Reiner, yeah.
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 Carl Reiner.
Like, that's one of the movies that's on Tubi right now. Although, when I watched it again, I was like, yeah, it's not as funny as the first time. Where's Papa? Carl Reiner directed it. And George Segal and... Ruth Gordon are in it.
Oh my.
Yeah. She's funny in it. Shit. Holy shit. Anyway.
Did you ever listen to the 2000-year-old man recordings? Mel Brooks and Carl Reiner?
I've heard some of them.
Back then. Yeah.
My father used to listen to those and he was like crying. He'd be laughing so hard. And they're total period piece, but they're very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So much of that stuff, I hate to go back.
I know.
And be disappointed.
That's true. I should just live with my memories that you've made.
Yeah, the things that hold up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the things that hold up really hold up, you know. Although, like with Blazing Saddles, I think we said we don't even know if that could get really made today.
Right.
At least by a white dude, you know. But
it's so good.
It's so freaking funny.
It's still so good.
I went to see Ant-Man the other night.
Oh, yeah? That kind of got panned, didn't it?
Got mediocre reviews for sure.
Yeah.
Although everyone really liked Michelle Pfeiffer and Michael Douglas in it. And Michelle Pfeiffer was good. But it wasn't the best. I mean, it's funny. I don't even know why. This good friend of mine said she would go with me, right? And I was like, really? Because she's never seen a Marvel movie. And she really liked it. And I said, well, I would say that's like in the bottom third of Marvel movies as far as I was concerned. You know, it didn't hold up to the best ones at all.
I heard an interview with Michael Douglas. He said the only reason he took that job was to see what it was like. The last time he did it, it was all green screen.
Oh.
But now they use the LED panels. And he just wanted to basically see what it was like.
Yes, yes. That's so interesting. Yeah, I read about that LED thing with The Mandalorian. I had never really heard about that. That's so interesting.
Yeah, and I guess it's gone several steps beyond that now.
Yeah.
So it's just point the camera at it and it moves through the space.
Super cool. Imagine the computing power that you need for that.
Well, when you think about the cast, not the cast, but the when they roll the credits at the end of the movies and just how long, so many people.
Oh my god. Well, and so I went with this friend of mine again who had not seen a Marvel movie before, and so at the end she started putting her coat on. I'm like, you can't go yet, because look, all the nerds are still sitting there, because they do those post credit things, and now sometimes they even do one at the very end of the credit. It used to be like maybe after 2 minutes of them. Now you have to wait, and they did have two. I said, look, they're still not getting up, so that means there's that means there's another one.
The nerds.
The nerds. The Marvel nerds. Once Luis and I went to see some movie, and when Captain America showed up, the guy next to us goes, Captain America. He was like an adult, right? You know?
It's not a real person.
Yeah.
They asked Michael Douglas. He said that this was the 33rd Marvel film.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
I bet.
And they said, how many of those have you seen? And he said, none.
Yeah.
Now, I'm surprised he said he wanted to see what it was like to work on one of those. I thought he would have said the money.
Yeah.
Because those people are all freaking billionaires now. And you know who had a small role in the Ant-Man movie was Bill Murray. He was in there for like 10 minutes.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs money, for sure.
He was good, too. I wish he would have been in the whole thing.
I heard on a podcast that Ant-Man, they just slammed, they said it was dark, literally so dark that you couldn't see what was going on a lot of times.
Oops.
And the CGI was terrible. And you could tell that a lot of the actors weren't even in the same place at the same time. They didn't even bother pretending. You know, they bring them in separately. And
I didn't get that, but...
And it went on to the point being Star Wars and Marvel are over. You can see the beginning of the end and it's about time, but they're either overdone or they're just not putting any care into them. Nobody cares anymore. They just keep the franchise going.
No, they're just churning them out is what they're doing.
And they're basically ads for the next one.
Yeah, like the first Black Panther, the first Doctor Strange were so amazingly good.
Agreed.
You know, and the second ones were sucked mostly. You know, but what I still appreciate is some of the shows. Like, I thought WandaVision was super good. I thought I liked Loki a lot, but then I love Tom Hiddleston and it doesn't really matter what he's in. And I thought Ms. Marvel was really good too. I thought it was really fun. But yeah, like, I was reading the review of Ant-Man before I saw it. And, you know, my girl from the New York Times, Manola Dargis, she's my favorite. And she called Paul Rudd an anodyne presence, meaning, and I love that word, and I always have to look it up because I never remember what it is. It's like basically inoffensively good, you know what I mean? Like, or it's like inoffensive, but in a good way, sort of, you know, anodyne. And I'm like, that's faint praise, you know?
Right.
A.O. Scott is retiring.
I know. Yeah, that's interesting.
That's a long career there.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good too. I like him, but
he is good.
I always have one person at the New York Times who is like, I mean, like with Manola Dargis, she and Karen James before that, like they were obviously like they obviously knew like film theory, you know.
Right.
And though their reviews were always totally readable, and but you could tell like they had that perspective on it, and that's why I always really liked it. Well, I very rarely disagreed. Anyway, go on.
He said he sort of fell into doing the movie criticisms, just he really fell into it. He didn't. And he spoke very highly of Manola and said that he learns a lot from her reviews.
She's great.
Yeah,
she's really, I love reading her. And there's a couple sometimes, like I'll read a couple of the other people on that desk and I'm like, oh, this is approaching Manola level, you know, and hopefully this person will grow into that, you know. Because when Karen James left, I was like, oh no,
Tarantino's making his last movie. And it's about Pauline Kael.
Really?
That's the rumor, yeah. He said it would be his last one.
Is it going to be a documentary or is it going to be like a revisionist kind of thing like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think it's documentary, but it's. But then there were denials that that wasn't true. But she apparently had quite a life. It would be interesting. Mm-hmm. It might be a fictionalized version of her.
She was a real bitch, I heard.
Yeah.
Like, she was not a very nice...
She was tough. She was a super tough critic, too. Super tough.
I think she was like that in person, too, from what I read.
Interesting. I should look up some interviews with her. I've always meant to read her books, you know, that are like collections of her essays, but I never have.
Well, when you're retired, you can do that.
That's right. I'm reading The Curse of the Marquis de Sade right now.
Ooh.
Wow. That's really interesting. It's really interesting.
Oh, that's the original... The role? Is that what you're talking about?
They talk, yeah it's about the scroll and its history. Although it does talk a good bit about him and his history, you know, and but it's kind of like that book, you know, Devil in the White City, where, where like when I started reading it, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to read the H.H. Holmes stuff because I'm not interested in the World's Fair stuff. But then when I read the World's Fair stuff, I'm like, this is better than the H.H. Holmes stuff. So same thing with this. At first I was like, well, probably the Marquis de Sade's life. But now the whole thing about how France is like sort of the heart of the market for like rare books and letters. And, you know, they have like this real respect for the written word and paper, you know, and that's really interesting too. So it's, I don't know. It got a super good review, and I can recommend it. It's really interesting.
I'm reading I'm reading Jennifer Grey's memoir.
Is it good?
my brother sent it to me because I went to grade school with her. We were we were like best pals in fourth grade.
Is that true?
Yep.
Oh, that's it funny. Is. So did you know Joel then?
Oh yeah, because I used to have sleepovers at her house.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What was he like?
Yeah. He was very nice, very nice man, super in love with his children, and he was a sweet guy.
Yeah, see, that's your life, Bailey. You come up with like, yeah, I had lunch with Jimmy Carter a couple of times, and, you know.
Jimmy Carter. So anyway, I'm reading At It.
Did she mention you in it? There's a whole chapter devoted to fourth grade, and
No, not yet. I know my brother said, I don't know if you're in this or not. I just kind of skimmed it.
Did you look at it? Did you look in the index? Maybe you're in there.
Yeah, or fire off a tweet to her that, why am I not included? In-
yeah, right.
You should.
Well, I saw her at, we had a grade school reunion back in, oh my God, early 2000s. And she was there. She came to, and when our grade school was tiny, there was like 20, 30 people in our class, you know, in this little school in New York, private school. And she came, and it was really fun seeing her. I mean, she was just totally into it, and we all had a good time. We fell back into things. And I remember reaching out to her, like, you know, gosh, it was great to see you. And it, nothing, never emailed, nothing, right. Zero. like, gave me her email address, and then nothing. Like, okay, I get it. Our time has passed.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, there's a prologue in the book. It's 17 full pages on her nose job.
I was just going to say, is there a chapter on that?
I was going to bring that up too.
It's the prologue. It's like she starts the book. It's almost like an apology or let's get this out of the way.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. She made me angry because I like to objectify women. And I thought mm-hmm. she changed her,
right.
So,
too bad you can't. I mean, like, you know how breast, you can do like a breast augmentation and you can do a breast reduction. Too bad you can't do like a nose augmentation mm-hmm. and put it back the way it was, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at old Barbara Streisand mm-hmm. and it reminded me that back then she was really different. She got a lot of not hate, maybe, but
flack
mm-hmm. for looking Jewish mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call it, exotic. There were people who thought she was an okay singer, but she shouldn't really be allowed to have the stardom that she did. She shouldn't be put in movies because mm-hmm. she didn't look right, you know.
I was upset when Cher got her nose job. I mean, she was mm-hmm. so beautiful mm-hmm. and so exotic looking, and then yeah. she just completely I totally lost a lot of respect for her after that.
I was upset when Cher lasered all her hair off.
Yeah, that too. But it's sad that all these, I mean, and then you look at Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin and all their interviews about this movie, and they, you know, so much work.
Yeah,
so much work.
I'll tell you, though, I haven't really noticed with Lily Tomlin, but Jane Fonda, at least she has a good surgeon.
She does.
Because hers looks really good, you know, versus like Jessica Lange or someone like that who looks horrific, hey, horrific.
Yeah. Melanie Griffith, too. Was it hers?
Horrible.
Yeah, just terrible.
It's mm-hmm. just, it's really sad that, you know, I had a friend in college who, I think maybe I mentioned this before, but, you know, maybe it was on episode 2 instead of episode 41. But she thought she had bags under her eyes, right? And so she used to put concealer. But the concealer she used was, like, almost white. Mm. And she barely would put it in. So she looked like the opposite of a football player, you know, like how they put the black under there. She had these big white blotches. And it's like she was so her view of herself was so skewed that she thought that looked okay. Mm-hmm. That's what I find really sad when the view of yourself is so right. off. You know, you're so critical of yourself that's what you would do.
Mm-hmm. With, you know, the women who think they're fat and they're not even close because that's how they see themselves. Yeah, that's,
right. Or older women who just go nuts on have a hairstyle like a 22-year-old mm-hmm. and it doesn't fit.
No, I mean, I believe in the what not to wear thing where they said age appropriate, right? Like, I don't feel like, you know, I can wear anything I want, right? But if I wear something from the teenage department at Nordstrom, I'm going to look weird.
You're not buying crop tops, Grace?
That was the, you know, on What Not To Wear. I used to love What Not To Wear. Yeah.
What a great show that
they was. They had the woman who they said was the worst that they ever worked on. She was from Texas. She had like big blonde hair and right. she wore Buffon. Like leopard skin mini skirts. And, you know, she would shop where her daughter shopped and all of this, right? And I remember they were doing her hair and it was looking so good. And she was like, I don't know what guys are going to say. She was probably like 50 something, right? And she's like, I don't know what guys are going to say. Mm-hmm. Like, first of all, who calls them guys in their 50s? Do you know what I mean? And second of all, who cares? And so they said, like, afterwards, she just totally went back to what she did. Yeah, and yeah, she's like, I'm back, baby. And I'm like, how sad is that? That you have to try to keep up with your daughter.
Right. But that's, obviously, she felt better like that than she did transformed, so.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's, I love fashion, too. I love, you know, like, I have, like, 50 pairs of shoes. And maybe that's not even a lot for some people, you know. Mm. But, like, yeah, and I love to wear clothes that are nice and all of that, but I do not feel the need to like look like a Barbie doll or even like a movie star. I just don't.
Right.
You know.
You want to look like Grace.
Yeah, I want to be comfortable too.
Yeah, me too.
You know.
Yeah, I want to be yourself.
Well, okay, we're at 20.
Yeah, he keeps trying to cut us off.
Okay, are we gonna do like a
hasta la vista?
Yeah, you know, hasta luego.
No, we don't do that anymore. Haven't done it for 40 episodes.
Well, why though?
Our listeners are smart. They know when an episode begins and when it's over.
That's what you think, though, Walt.
So we shouldn't say "see you next time, Rick and Jody."
Right. Our two listeners know who they are.
Well, Walt, it doesn't matter what I think because you have the final say.
This is a democracy.
You're the editor.
Editor, executive producer, and inventor of podcasting.
Well, there you go. Case closed. Well, I'm doing a kicker anyway. I'm Grace. Come on, Bailey, support me here.
So much anger.
See you next time.